I'm Robin. I'm the lead pastor here at Eastlake. Good to have you. Several years ago, many years ago, I decided I was going to try to go skiing. I hadn't been skiing before. I had lots of friends that skied. So I went up to the ski resort, and I wanted to go up on the big hill with all my friends. I saw everybody skiing down, so I thought, I'm going to go up there and be with them. And my friends said, oh, no. There's your mountain over there. And I looked there, and I thought, well, that's not even a mountain. He goes, that's the point. And I saw a rope over there that tiny little kids were holding on to, and they're being pulled up the mountain really super slow. And I thought, well, what do you call that? And he said, well, that's called the bunny hill. I thought, oh, man, you know. So I get on my skis, and I go over there a little bit. And, I mean, you feel like the biggest dork ever. There's a little five-year-old in front of me and behind me. We're both holding on to the rope, going up to the top, you know. And I did that about two times. I was like, no way, man. No chance. I mean, I'm going up on the big hill. So I look over there, and I see how people are going. I thought, oh, they ride that thing up there. I said, okay. So I, you know, finally get myself over there to where everybody's going, and I'm in line. And, of course, at that point, you know, it was way back when I was single, you're trying to look a certain amount of cool, right? You know, so you got your glasses on, your everything, and everybody's, like, seems like they're very clear on how to go on this. And so I'm just kind of moving, talking like everybody else. Like, oh, I've been here lots of times. I'm Mr. Skier, you know. And when it comes time to get on the ski thing, I was trying to figure out how they do it because I noticed it's not stopping. And the thing's coming around, and I'm like, well, when is it going to stop, you know? And they just sort of jump onto it. So I get over to it thinking, well, certainly, you know, they're going to stop it. And it comes around, and of course, it just swings around, and it doesn't stop. And I'm not in position, and as it comes around, it just hits me and knocks me right to the ground, right in front of everybody, skis twisted up. And then I had my hand on it because I didn't want to let it go. And so now it's dragging me. I can hear people behind me just laughing. Look at him, look at him. It's just dragging me along, and I finally, like, scamper up. I get onto the chair. And of course, the dude next to me is like, what? You know, I'm like, hey, it's okay, man. I just had a little problem, you know. So now we're riding. I've never been up on it in my life. Had no idea how high they got. It's like after a while, you know, I'm telling the guy next to me, when's the ride over, man? This is kind of high, huh? Look at it. This is sort of high up here, you know. It's just, I'm looking down at the little tiny skiers that, man, I should have stayed on the bunny hill over there. This is not good. I'm going a little further. And then I see, like, a little shack up front. And as I'm looking, I see the people in the chair, and I'm watching them, and the chair sort of goes down and comes up, and they're not there anymore. I'm saying, oh, okay, well, that's where it stops and let you off, you know. And so I'm kind of hanging on, thinking, okay, here we go. I'm going to be at the top of this hill. And I'm on the chair, and I'm going, and I'm going, and I'm trying to make conversation. He's not even talking to me. He's like, I don't even know you. You know, it's like, and as we're going on the chair. And then as it gets closer, I see the people in front of me, and then all of a sudden they disappear. I'm like, well, when are they going to stop the chair? And as they're going, all of a sudden we just are still moving, and this cat jumps out and skis away. I'm like, hey, man, when are they going to stop the chair? And I kind of panicked at that point. I realized too late, oh, you're just supposed to slide off. But it was like too late because I was like, certainly they're going to stop the chair. And they never stopped the chair. So I just stayed in the chair and went all the way around, back down in front of everybody in the chair. They had to stop the entire chairlift. Everybody was gathered around. I had to kick my skis off and hang down off the chair. And when they're saying, jump, jump, let go, let go. And I'm like, no, it's like 5 feet down there. I'm going to hurt myself. And the point of it is, when it was all said and done, is I thought I knew how to do something, but I didn't. I thought I could handle it, and I couldn't. And at some point, it was all exposed. I'm glad you're at Eastlake. We call this a church for everyone, a place where people can find out that Jesus cares about them. Lots of people want to get close to God, but they're afraid to try church. They're thinking, oh, I can't go to church. They won't like me at church. I'll just hear about all the things that I've done wrong. And they know that if they could just sort of start to connect with Jesus again, so many things would be different. My wife and I went to a Christmas concert, and this concert where we went, she had a friend that was African-American, and so when we went to the concert, when we got in there, I noticed I was the only, only white bread in the room, and so I'm the only white guy there, and everybody's coming in, and you know, I hadn't been in a church like that before. It was like a church, and they had a big, huge concert, and It wasn't like churches I've been before that have a choir, because you know how the choir, they all, they sit in their special chairs with their special suits on, and they're very proper and everything. And then, you know, someone has them, they all stand up and they sing. This was not like this in this church. These brothers and sisters, when it was time for the choir, they came walking in down the center aisle in front of everybody to this big, funky disco music going on. And they're walking like this, and their robes are going, and they're already singing. and the church starts singing with them. They're like, yeah, he's going to be there all singing, you know, and the choirs are coming in, and the robes are flowing like this, and every one of them have rhythm. It's just perfect rhythm, you know, and I'm watching this thing. This is crazy. When is the show starting? The show is starting now, you know, and so they all get up there. And music going, drums, everything like this, and they start singing, and everybody in the church starts clapping like this. They just, and we're all, you know, and I'm clapping like this, you know, and they're clapping, we're all clapping, they're all just going like this, and we're singing songs, they're just clapping, and they're still clapping, and then they go right into the next song, and nobody even stops. Just, oh, we're going to sing, you know, and everybody up there, and ladies are getting up, and they're singing, and it's just going and going, and I'm clapping too, and I feel like, no kidding, this is all right. And after about three songs, I'm like, I'm getting a little tired doing this. Is it like aerobics or something? You know, they're all clapping. And my wife, who's Hawaiian, and she's got a lot of rhythm, she's just digging it. She's just clapping like this and going, is this something? Like, I'm tired, man. And so finally I decided, I'm taking a break. I'm going to have a little break. I said, man, there's a lot going on here, man. This is rad, you know, and I'm looking at it, this is really something. I said, whew, okay, I got my breath now. And they're all singing and everything, and I'm right in the middle of the song. And so I said, I'm going to start clapping again. And I'm like, I could not get back in. No matter what I tried, I could not find the beat. And I'm over here like, okay, here we go. This time I'm going to get it. And they're all going, I'm trying to, you know, I just can't find it. And finally my wife goes, what are you doing? And I said, well, I got out and I can't get back in. And I thought, you know what? I think a lot of people feel that way about church. Somewhere along the road, they got out. They got tired. Or they just didn't know how to do it, or they decide, I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And then at some point in their life, they think, I want to get back in. But it's just like me. They're like, how do I do it? Where do I start? I can't catch it. Really? Miss football on Sundays? And that's why we're here. That's why you're here. We want to be the place that helps people get back in. Not so they have church, but so they have a way to get close to Jesus. Because he cares. Because when you're out there, and you're not with him, it's real easy to think that God doesn't care about you. And if you think God doesn't care about you, you're going to be alone. East Lake Church exists for one reason, so people would know, hey, it's easy to get in. And once you get in, you're going to find out Jesus cares about you. Now, it's nice today. It was nice yesterday. Really nice super weather. But this last week was pretty stormy. And, you know, you thought, well, we had just a little bit of fall, and now we're back into winter again. And it was stormy for us as a church, because last Sunday I told you, I said, hey, we're going to get a new building, and it's going to be awesome. And sometimes you go through physical storms, and sometimes you go through spiritual storms. We went through a spiritual storm last week. You probably have had them in your life before, where stuff's just upside down. It's not going how you want to go. And when things don't go the way they want to in my life, it's easy to think God doesn't care about me. When the circumstances aren't going how I want them to go, when things are difficult, it's like, come on, God. You know, you just think he doesn't care. So we were all ready, right? We're all ready, and the people are going to get together, and they're going to sign the papers on Monday, and ta-da, we're going to have this great building, we're going to get the keys, and then, like, I don't hear anything on Monday. And I put a phone call in and says, hey, well, you know, and nobody returns my call. I'm like, what? So Tuesday comes, and I'm still thinking, well, they must have got it, we'll be fine, everything's going to be good. Remember we had the mailer we're going to mail out, and everything's going to happen, and this is going to be super. You know, I did the message about we're going to step into the river, and oh, wow, it's really cool. And like, it was not cool on Wednesday. And I'm like, God, what? You know, and when you really want something to happen and God doesn't come through, that's when you really start to say to yourself, God, do you even care? And here's the problem. It's hard to trust Jesus when you don't think Jesus cares about you. And so Wednesday comes, and the lady finally calls me. And she calls me up, and she says, hey, here's what happened. I wasn't able to keep the appointment on Monday because of an emergency. And I had the phone like this right here, and I just put it down. I was like, okay, I understand. Yeah, okay. I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me, man. You know the words that come into your mind are the ones you can't say. They're words with special action behind them. But you can't say those words, so you just have to say the words you should say. I know everything will be fine because it's going to be great and it's all going to be good. And it was the type of storm that I didn't expect. It was the type of a circumstance I wasn't prepared for. And all of a sudden, I was just in it. It was like, you couldn't go to the meeting. We've been waiting for months. I mean, like, the only reason you don't go to that meeting, girl, is you're dead. I mean, why weren't you there? You know, just all that stuff's going through my mind. And today I want to talk to you about what it's like when you find yourself in circumstances that make you think, Jesus, do you even care? Is it ever going to change? Is it ever going to get any better? Look at your notes. It has to do with faith. The big idea, storms can break or make your faith. Story about Jesus today. Let me read some of it to you. We'll talk a bit, make a couple points of application. When evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So let me tell you, give you some context of what's going on here. Jesus has been having some family problems. He had a mom and a dad and brothers and sisters, and he had cousins and all kinds of things. He's had some family problems, and he just comes off a very difficult discussion with his family. He is doing what he often would do. He would just show up somewhere, and people would come and say, teach us about God, talk to us about God. And his family shows up and says, this has got to stop. You can't keep doing this. What are you doing with your life? What kind of choices are you making? And maybe you've heard that from your family before. And maybe they should have said it to you. Or maybe the reason they said it is you weren't doing the things the way they would have done it. I mean, Jesus was very different than his family. I mean, one of the things was he was 30 years old and he wasn't married. And in that culture, that was huge. It's like, when are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? When are we going to have the grandkids? Well, if so-and-so's married, and your brother's married, and your sister got married, when are you going to get married? I can't believe, you know, Betsy Lou Kaczynski over there. I mean, I think she was looking at you, Jesus. And, you know, it's just like, why aren't you married? I remember when I first became a Christian, I found out, you know, what God's way is about sex and marriage. You had to be in marriage to have sex. I was like, really? Dang, I never knew that. So I started thinking, well, I'm ready to get married today. You know, so I started looking around, like, who could I marry, you know? And it's like, and then a week went by, and I was like, God, I've been married a really super long time. He goes, no, I'm ready to fall in love. He goes, no, you're just in heat. You're not ready to fall in love. But it seems like a long time. And you may be here today wondering, when am I going to get married? Or you might be getting pressure from your family. When are you going to get married? Or you might be with someone, you keep asking yourself, when are they going to ask me to marry him? I mean, how long is this going to go on? I don't want to be a girlfriend or a boyfriend anymore. I want to get married. That's what Jesus was talking about. I mean, that's his family. And then they come and they say, I can't believe you left the church. I mean, all the Jewish people went to the same church, and they all had a temple, and the whole nation went to the same church. And Jesus decides at a pretty young age, I'm not going to go to that church. And that'll cause some trouble in your family. I mean, what are you talking? You're not going to go to the church. Your grandpa went to the church. I mean, we helped build that church. I mean, your cousin goes to the church. Even Auntie goes to the lame. She goes to the church. Jesus. You know, when you decide you're going to have your walk with God, how you're going to have it, you'll probably hear some things from your family. You're going to. And you're just going to have to decide, well, how do I love them anyways? How do I build a bridge so they continue to love me? Because I'm going to do it differently than they thought. And so there's Jesus now. He's doing all that. And then he decides, after he talks to his family like a lot of us do, I need a break, man. I'm going on a walk. I am out of here. So he goes down by this lake with some of his friends. I mean, you know how, like, when you get in a really rough time, you call your friends. It's like, let's meet at the pub, or let's get a cup of coffee, or let's do something because I need people that like me. And so they get together, and they're walking along this lake. They're just hanging out. They're just down by this lake. Jesus loved the outdoors. Gosh, you read the Bible, he's always outside, always outside, always outside. And he's down by this lake, and people hear about it. They go, the miracle worker, the magic guy that does all those things, he's down by the lake. And so here comes the crowds. They gather and gather and gather, and more people. And pretty soon, Jesus is like, dang, you know, and they're like closing in on him. Dude, tell us a story. Tell us, do something. And they're coming around Jesus, and this is just before this happens. And so he's backing up, and he gets into a boat. He has some friends that have a boat. He gets into a boat, and he sits in the boat, puts some water between them, and he starts talking to them, and he spends the entire day with them, telling them things about the Lord. And by the way, he's willing to spend the entire day with you too. Any day you want. Spends the entire day with him, and then this story happens. Evening comes, and it says Jesus decides to leave. And let's read a little bit more of it. Let's go over to the other side of the lake. They left the crowd behind, and they took him along in a boat just as he was. There was other boats with him. So circle that part where it says they left the crowd behind. Because I'm sure it was difficult for Jesus to leave the crowd behind. And here's my question for you. Is there anything in your life you're supposed to leave behind and it's difficult? And it's not a bad thing, but it doesn't fit anymore. You know, maturity is being able to let go of something that was a part of my life back there because it doesn't fit in my life over there. We all grow up. We play video games. We hang out. We don't clean our room. Our car's a mess. We don't know what our bank account is. We all do that stuff. Then at some point, you grow up and you say, can you leave that stuff behind? Because as you grow up and mature, your world changes. It's difficult to leave stuff behind. And Jesus has the crowd there, and they say, come on, we got to go, man. He's able to leave them behind. Gets in the boat. He takes off. He's heading out. He says, let's go over to the other side of the lake, whatever's going to happen there. And read your Bibles this afternoon. It's kind of a cool story what they end up with. But in this one, the other boats come along. And so let's read a little bit more. So now he's got a little armada going across this lake. And it's a big, big lake, too. It's called the Sea of Galilee. So it's pretty good size. A wild storm came up. Waves crashed over the boat. It was about to sink. Jesus was in the back sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up. They said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? So here they are now. Jesus says, let's go over to the other side of the lake. And so here they're all taking off. And let me tell you about this lake. It's nestled up against these mountains, and it's very, very low. And so what happens is the cold air hits the hot air, and when it does that, it causes these storms that you're not ready for. And so here they go out onto the lake. Oh, and most of these guys are professional fishermen. So they have a lot of confidence in how they can handle boats. And Jesus must have a lot of confidence, too, because he's sleeping. So here they go. It's going to be fine. We got okay, everything, he's good now. He can stuff with his family, but we got him outdoors. It's going to be good. Here we go. We're going. Oh, and it says they took him just as he is, which is kind of like our motto at Eastlake. We'll take you just as you are. You don't have to dress a certain way. You don't have to change your behavior. You don't have to do anything. Honestly, now, I'm telling you, anybody can come to this church. I don't care what they're doing. If you know anybody, you think, I mean, there's nothing in the world someone could be doing and not be allowed at this church. We'll take you just as you are. So they take him just as he is, and off they go. And as they're going, these little boats are falling. And now this storm hits, because that's how they go on this lake. The storm, all of a sudden, is swept down. And the waves are coming, and it looks like the boat is going to sink. And can you imagine if you were on this boat, and it's all starting to sink, and you look back, and Jesus is asleep on a cushion? There's one cushion in the boat, and he gets it, and now he's sleeping? Does it ever feel like Jesus is asleep when you need him? He's a sound asleep? It's like, God, are you even watching what's going on in my life? Do you know how bad I need this job? Do you know how bad I want this girl or this guy? Do you even understand what I'm going on with these kids right now? They're driving me absolutely crazy. I'm buying straitjackets for them. I mean, this is ridiculous, you know? It's just like, do you even see it? Nothing. You know when you pray those prayers and you're just so sure he's going to say something? It's like, okay, you, like this time I'm really talking to you. Then you stop. It's like, nothing. And here's the like crazy part. We still believe in him at that point. We don't go, oh, I don't know what I was thinking. This is all big fan. He's like, we still believe. But there is a difference between believing and trusting. You can believe in Jesus. I like him. I'm part of the Jesus team. Yay me. But do I trust him? And when he's silent and I'm going through heck, it's hard to trust him. Here comes the waves and everything. Here it comes. And it seems like, this is an interesting part of the story, it seems like they wait till the last possible minute to go wake him up. And you have to ask yourself, why? I mean, it's not like the boat just sank right away. I mean, here comes the storms. Now the water's coming up, and they're probably bailing it out of there. And it's like, wake him up. Wake him. No, don't wait. We can handle it. Probably guys, don't wake him up. We can handle this. We're fishermen. That's embarrassing. He's trusting us. It's our job to get him to the other side. Don't wake him up. We'll get over there. He'll never know, and he'll still think that we're men. I'm not losing my man card. You wake him up. Guys are like that. I never ask my wife for directions when we're driving somewhere. Honey, I don't think you know where you're going. Well, I know where I'm going. But do you, I'm really, we missed the turn. We did not miss the turn. This is a shortcut. I know where I'm going. Because men just don't like to feel weak. They don't like to ask for help. And so they'll wait for the last, I can't tell you how many times I've sat with couples, 30 years of marriage and family counseling, and you're sitting with a couple, and now they got the lawyers and everything, and we're going to do this. We're one last ditch, they're going to come and see me, pastor. Is there some way you can put it together? And I'm like, well, dude, why did you wait so long? How long have you known? Oh, really long time. Well, when did you start to know? When we slept in different beds 7 years ago? Clue. Why'd you wait so long? I was embarrassed. I didn't want my family to know. I was embarrassed to get help. I remember the first time Clarice said she wanted to talk to somebody or just wanted someone to know. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, somebody was going to know. I was like, no. I don't want anybody to know about you. And this was the young man in me. Don't ever tell anybody about what's going on in our home. Our job is to present the perfect picture. Now, once we get home, we can let the crap fly. But out there, you make sure everybody thinks that I'm awesome. And I lost a lot by having that attitude. A lot of wisdom I could have gotten. So anyways, they wait till the last minute. They don't go to, or maybe they think they're going to get a religious lecture. Because if you had a lot of lectures before, any kind of lecture, so you have to go to your parents and ask to borrow money. You got to borrow money again? Your sister never borrows money. Her whole life she's, why can't you be more like her? She manages her money perfectly all the time. And you, I told you this would happen if you dropped out of school. I told you this would happen if you dropped out of the church. You know, when is the last time someone gave you a good lecture? And then you walked away from the lecture, even if they gave you something and you thought, it wasn't worth it. Not to be lectured like this. So maybe they've had lots of lectures and they're afraid now because Jesus is holy man. Don't go talk to him. Don't go talk to him. He's just going to scold us. He's going to say we should have got a bigger boat or we should have left it a different time. Don't go talk to him. What keeps you from asking God for help? My religious grandmother told me that God punishes bad boys when I was little. So I thought, well, he'll only help good boys. The problem is, I was always bad. You know how I got myself out of that pickle? One time when I was a teenager, it was so difficult at home. And I was in bed at night, and I was just struggling. Can I do it? Can I not? Can I ask? And I didn't have any right to ask him because I was a bad boy. And finally, I just broke, I'm just crying. I'm like, and I finally just cried out, God, please, please. All I can say, please, 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 please. I'll try harder. Please, God, anything you want, please, 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 please. And he did it. And that was the first time in my entire life I ever realized, wait a minute. I think God helps bad boys too. We all bring our baggage into our relationships, even our relationship with Jesus. What baggage did you bring in? And it's very hard to ask him for help because you've got all these bags that you bring in. And by the time you get those all settled, it's too late. They wait a long time to ask Jesus to help them. And look what they say when they finally do. It's interesting. Here's what they say. Jesus was in the back sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him. They said, Teacher, don't you care if we drowned? That's their question. They wake up Jesus with a question. Or is it an accusation? Have you ever heard any, like, when's the last time when someone asked you a question and you realized that's not a real question? That's an accusation. When are you going to take out the trash? No. When are you getting off your lazy and get the trash out? That's what they really mean. Or someone at your work asks you a question. Your boss asks you a question and really it's an accusation. And you know it's an accusation. And that's what they say to Jesus. Here's what they're really saying. You don't care about us. Oh, yeah, you do all those miracles for everybody, and it's really great, all the stories you tell and everything, but right now, I need a job. Right now, my wife said she hates me. Right now, I don't even know where my teenager is, and you're not doing anything about it. In the big picture, Jesus loves the whole world. He's got the whole world in his hand. Yay, that's great. But what about right now, when this frickin' boat's going down? You don't care about us. And these are the guys that are with him all the time. So I can understand why I act this way. Because when my life doesn't measure up to how I want it to be, it's very easy to say, Jesus, you don't care about me. Boy, what a week I had. I was having to let everybody in the church know, and I'm working and trying to get ready. I had a whole different talk plan, by the way, and everything, you know, it's going to be great. And I started thinking, Jesus, do you care? And, you know, and then you start leveraging. We moved out here from San Diego to Utah, God. We took jobs, and we're doing this and that. Everything. Come on! Do you even care? But underneath, it's a little bit, you don't care enough. Is that crazy, telling God he doesn't care enough? you don't care as much as I care. The crazy things we say. You know, she's like, nothing from him. 3 days of silence for me this week with the Lord. I'm even fasting. I'm like, okay, God, you want to see something? I won't eat. How about that? Nothing. Just like these guys. It's like, when in the heck is he going to make this weather stop? And he never did. I finally get a call at the end of the week. It's not happening this week. It's going to happen on Monday at 9:30. I'm like, Lord, are you losing track of days? Monday's after Sunday. Didn't hear anything. And you make accusations. And here's the thing. It's very hard to trust Jesus when you think he doesn't care about you. And that's what they're saying. He don't care about us. Anytime my circumstance convince me that he doesn't care, very hard to trust him. In fact, it usually just turns into a pity party and a poor me party. And you know, your relationship with Jesus is like any relationship. When you're connected, it's good. When you disconnect, not so good. And so the whole week, I'm back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. Don't you care? How come you don't care? How come you're not here? I told them all, you're mighty, you're powerful, you stopped the river. This is big, big, big. We're going to have those stones, Lord. How come you're not doing freaking anything? I didn't say freaking, but how come? No answer. What's going on in your life? And it's a real storm. Maybe you don't even feel spiritual. Maybe you're just like wondering. And here's the crazy thing about this. They're doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. I could see if I screwed up, I was lazy. They're doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Let's get in the boat and go to the other side. And don't you think it's reasonable if you're doing exactly what Jesus tells you to do that he'd at least be kind enough to keep the bad weather away? Or maybe you believe that. As long as I do good, this is the conversation. God, I'm really doing good this time. I didn't even stay out all night. I had 2 drinks. I came home by myself. I'm doing good this time, God. And I get in and I find out that my boss is mad at me. Why even bother? Because that's where they are. They're doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. And the storms come anyways. Because that's this lake. Storms happen. If you live on the Gulf in Mississippi and the storms hit you, you should not be surprised because you live in a storm zone. And guess what? Life is a storm zone. Relationships are a storm zone. We all live in a storm zone. We all do. And when the storms hit, it doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong at all. You might be doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. That's where they are. Let's keep reading. So, don't you care about us? Here's now Jesus. Here's what he does. He doesn't even say anything to them. He got up and ordered the wind to stop, and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. So, this is interesting. And this is a good little tip if you're in a relationship with somebody, and somebody makes an accusation against you. They say something to you, and I wish I could be more like Jesus because I am so defensive. I mean, if someone comes up to me and they say something about me that isn't true, I am the best lawyer in the world. Oh, yeah, have a seat. And I get so defensive, and I have to defend myself and say whatever. I mean, Jesus could have stood up and said, what? Have you forgot everything I've done? I've been the Lord to you. I picked you. Have you forgot the miracles I did? Peter, your mother-in-law was going to die, and I healed her. I have been so there for you guys. How dare you make an accusation against me like that? Get out of the boat. All of you, get out of the boat. I'm starting over. But he doesn't say anything to him. But he does show him something. When someone makes an accusation against you, you probably won't talk your way out of it, but you might be able to show your way out of it. All you care about is money. You don't care about anybody that works for you. Don't argue with them. Show them. The first time you bring a dinner card home for somebody and say, you know, you've been such a great worker. This is a $100 gift card for you to go out to dinner. And you just rock. Just show them. If someone is accusing you of something in a relationship, you don't care about me like you used to. We haven't had sex in like 9 days. You know, our marriage sucks. Well, just show them. Don't tell them. This is what Jesus does. He stands up and the first thing he says is to the waves and the wind. And that must have been pretty freaky. They must have thought initially, whoa, he's steaming. Wait till he starts talking to us. He's cussing out the wind and waves. It's going to be heavy. Until the wind stops and the waves stop and it gets completely calm. I mean, can you imagine? You wait and you wait and you wait. You don't go say anything to Jesus at all. And then when finally you get pent up, and there's a lot, listen, there are so many people that are so angry. And they're just boiling over. They'll be just like this. And when they first have their encounter with God, it's probably going to be something like this. You never cared about me. And I hope it happens soon for them, because how Jesus responds is going to blow their mind. Because they're going to be so ready to get hit, and he's not going to hit them. Do you know why you can have confidence to tell people that Jesus loves them? Because he does. It's not your job to prove it, but he will. And he does. Man, he speaks to the wind and the waves, and he created the wind and the waves, and they know who their master is. He says, you're done. Quit. Sorry I was sleeping. I shouldn't let you get like that. Stop. And it happens. And it might be a myth. You could think it's a myth. Maybe it's just a story. But if you believe Jesus can do anything. My friend Chelsea, I met her when she was 14 years old, long, long time ago when we used to work with teenagers. And she's had a heck of a life. Dad's in and out, her mom. And she was a wild child when we met her. And then she gave her life to Jesus. And she looked for the perfect guy, kept herself pure and just kept going. And about 2-3 years ago, she meets this like awesome man of God. He's just great. And they get married and it's just fantastic. And she gets pregnant and it's just going to be the greatest thing ever. And then they find this very rare form of cancer. Fast forward, she loses the baby. She's got medical costs now that are so staggering. Even every time I hear about it, I'm like, gosh, Lord. Everything's like, it's going to go great. And then all of a sudden, now it's not even great at all. And the storms hit her. Her mom wrote me a card this week. Said she was suffering well. She says, Chelsea's really suffering well. And she's been walking with the Lord, and she's still walking with the Lord through it. And he's there for her during this time. And what I want you to hear is that if you believe Jesus can do anything, it has to be anything. It just can't be sort of some things. You're either all in and you go, he can do anything. So he could make Pluto and he could split Red Seas. He could do anything. He could do it all. Regardless of all the science and everything, because that's all good, it all probably matches somewhere. It's like the beams in this building. We can't see where they come together, but they do. We'll never figure out how it all jives, and it's not important. How do you answer this question? Can Jesus do anything? Because that's the question I have with Chelsea now. Really? Or do I secretly start to prepare for her to die? Do I start to wonder, I wonder if I'm going to have to do her funeral? I knew her pretty well. Her mom wrote me. I wonder if I'm going to... Or do I go, whoa, wait a second. I don't want that. Jesus can do anything. Anything. So it's kind of a check-in moment for them, because all of a sudden they're watching him speak to the wind and the waves, and all of a sudden it's anything. And they might have thought to themselves, oh, that's a cool trick. Or, I think I felt it starting to calm down before he talked anyways. That, no. Or, Jesus can do anything. The Bible can't be the word of God. The men are involved in that. They screw up everything. There's no way the Bible could be right. Can God do anything? Could he make a perfect book? If he decided, I'm making a perfect book, would it be like, oh, bleh! Wrong answer, God. That's the one thing that's too hard for you. You can make a blue whale, but not a perfect book. You have to decide. Can he do anything? And what's the point of even praying for your kids then? What's the point of praying for your auntie? What's the point of praying for a job? What's the point of praying for anything if God can't do anything? And here he is. He stops the wind and the waves. And look at their response. It's like totally priceless. Check this out. So here they are. He asks them then, he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Circle that. Don't you have any faith at all? They were terrified. They asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. It's like when you see something and you're just sort of like taken back by it. It's like, whoa. You actually did that in my life? You can do that and you want me? You want to have a relationship with me? And then the story just kind of ends right there. And we get to pick up the story in our own lives. because Jesus is in your boat. Is it going to sink? Can he do anything? How long are you waiting to ask him for help?